I want to take you to Galatians chapter 3. And we've been here before, but the Holy Spirit has been pressing, as I shared earlier. He's trying very hard to develop our spiritual senses so that we will be obedient to what he's called us to be. And Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "You foolish Galatians." Well, I could also say, "You foolish Christians," "who have bewitched you. Before every eye, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Holy Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human efforts? Are you trying to attain your goal by human efforts?" Yeah. See, human efforts is what we have been trained to use. You're smart. You've got an education. You can produce for yourself. If you don't, you're lazy. You're blah, 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 blah. Anybody relate? All right. In that area, these are all areas that are good, but they're not spiritual. They are natural. They have one destiny in mind. They will all disappear. When you get into the realm of the spirit, you're going to be a spirit being using spiritual abilities. And without faith, you're going to be in a troubled area. Well, I'm going home to be with Jesus, and I'm going to have my special cloud-made mattress, and I am going to just sit in the heavenly sunshine, and I am going to roast until I can jump in the pool of Holy Ghost water, blah, 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 and live in fantasy land, and that's so dumb. Otherwise, this letter would not be written to the Galatians. We have such weird ideas about the heavens that it doesn't make a darn bit of sense to think that God would put us on the earth, tell us to develop our senses, okay? Tell us to develop our abilities, both in the natural and in the spirit. Now, if you were stupid enough to stay like a six-month-old baby, you'd never learn to walk. So it's not a bad thing to develop your natural senses and your natural abilities. But good grief, you don't need to live there forever. You don't need to live there forever. The other night, I'm driving home. I go by a street where a couple of my friends used to live. They were, I don't know, a year and a half older than me. And they're both gone to be with the Lord. They're both on the other side, husband and wife. Their kids are still living in the area. But, you know, I'm nosy. How many of you have got a little nose problem? Don't be afraid. So I'm nosy, and I said, "Lord, how are these two doing in the heavenlies?" And I heard they're having a hard time. And I thought, okay, now they're both believers, okay, but they never went to church. They're both believers and they say they have a relationship with the Lord, but they never bothered to develop their spiritual senses. So I need to make that clear. Is there any accusation in my voice? I pray not. I'm not accusing. They did what they chose to do, and if God could respect it, I can respect it. So, I got nosy again because the response was, they're having a hard time. Well, I want to know what kind of hard time. Amen. What kind? You know, what's the difference? They've never developed their faith. They don't know how to believe in that realm, so they're stuck on what street? Could be dreary, deceptive, street where all of these that are motivated by fear and motivated by all the torment of the natural life, they're still living in that level. Oh, I said, oh my God, Lord, is there anything I need to do? He says, no, rest. But don't be like they. Don't make the choices they made. Your job is to develop in the spirit. And you're to do it here so that you can be in a very special place on the other side. So that prompted my next question. I said, Lord, what about the other side? He said, well, you have St. Paul as an example, don't you? I said, yes, you do. I do. Yeah, I do. What was he in the realm of the spirit in the earth? He was a sent one. He was an apostle. He was a deliverer of. He was a healer of. He was anointed of. He said, do you think that Paul went into the realm of the spirit and just sat there on Miserable Street? Are you catching on a little bit? All right? See, if you have been miserable in the earth, you're going to go to heaven and you'll definitely be saved, but you can still live on Miserable Street. How many know there are some Christians that are always miserable? Thank you. Well, as it is here, they shall be. Oh, and if they have gone over to the other side with a big case of the poor me's, they're going to be on the other side with the same traits. What are they waiting for? Maybe a teacher. Maybe a counselor. Maybe a St. Paul will go and teach them on their miserable street. See, my press is to get you so motivated to say, I am not going to be what I was yesterday. I am not going to be like these foolish Galatians. Who what? Who has bewitched you? Why would he use that word? Maybe there was witchcraft in their day. Is there any witchcraft in your day? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly portrayed as crucified. Why does he specify? Why was he crucified? Because that's the trigger. If you recognize that his blood washed away every one of your failures, every one of your fears, every one of your doubts, you would walk in total peace 24/7. You'd be totally, totally at peace. You say, why bother? I'm already in the heavens now. I can walk in the heavens today. I can have a happy day now. Not next year. Oh my God, if everything falls into place, I might have a good day. Baloney! Do you hear me? Foolish Christians. You can have a good day today. You can have a good day tomorrow. You don't need to be bewitched by anybody. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law and rules and regulations and all the coordinates to make everybody else happy except you? Believing what you heard is how you made the decision to go forward. Verse 3, are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human efforts? I'm guilty. I would perform to do any kind of a ritual in order to receive acceptance from somebody that I loved. That was my background. I became an expert at compromise. I would coordinate my life so that everybody would be happy except me. Ooh. Come on. Have you any identity with what I'm saying? Thank you. The fear of rejection, the fear of not doing it just right with all the rules and regulations, that's the law. It was the law in my house. And I laid it down pretty thick when they didn't behave. Yes or no? How many of you can relate? That's where you came up. That's where you were brought up, and that's where you gave out, because that's what you knew. Foolish Christians. Human efforts will not do it. Verse 4. Have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you his spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law? Or because you believe what you heard? Isn't that awesome? What I heard was that Jesus Christ crucified, made me, prepared me, and healed and set me free. Why was he taken to such difficult spaces so that I could taste of that freedom? Why did he come out of the grave? To give me hope for this body. You know, Joseph, way back, was rejected, pushed and shoved and sold into slavery. And he finally gets the message and he forgives those who mistreated him, including his own family. Your biggest irritation could be right in your own house. Those who are so angry with you and so jealous of you, they can't stand your guts. Oh my God. Whew, that didn't go in. Oh, yeah. They can't stand your guts. Why? Because the anointing is on you.
That's right.
Look at your neighbor. Say, the anointing's on me.
The anointing's on me.
That's why I'm an irritation.
Yes?
Yes. You see, when the anointing is on somebody and you walk into the room and the anointing is not on those in the room, you can actually feel your skin crawl. Come on. How many of you would have known what I'm talking about? Put your hand up. Put it way up and look around. Because see, the devil says, oh, you're the only one. No, you're not. You are a Galatian under the anointing of Revelation. You are the one that is irritating the darkness, and you have started by believing, and now you're going forward believing, and the Holy Spirit continues to manifest himself through you because the anointing is on you, and that's why some can't stand you. And you say, oh, the devil can't stand me. Baloney. The devil knows a long time ago. Paul I knew, Peter I knew, and who are you? Are you such an irritation that he knows you by name? Could be. Could be. Why am I pressing in? I'm pressing in to give you an understanding that God's grace is so awesome and is so intense that it wants to change your lifestyle. Go to verse 12 of chapter 2. I want to give you hope because, see, if you look at St. Peter, you're going to see a man of God that fell. I want you to read verse 11 first. When Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he was clearly in the wrong. Before certain men came from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles. But when he arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. Oh, if Peter was afraid, you might have a background in fear. Amen? How many can relate? The pressure of people. The pressure of people who have spiritual authority. I'm going to hit you hard now. Proverbs 29:25. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Fear of man will prove to be a snare, But whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Close your eyes. I want you to repeat it. Say Proverbs 29.
Verse
25. Says fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is being kept safe. And that's me. Hallelujah. John 12:42 confirms it. Yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear. They would be put out of the synagogue. The Jews had a problem. They loved to worship in the temple. I can remember some of the war games that went on in me before the Lord told me that I was to remove myself from certain people. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to do this. He said, I do. He says, are you going to wait until they shove you over the cliff? When he declared in the temple, or the little building that they used as a temple or as a synagogue in Nazareth, when he gave the truth that he was the anointed Messiah, tradition says that in every synagogue, they had to have a chair. Anybody know who the chair was for?
Elijah.
They had a chair ready for Elijah. Did anybody sit in that chair?
No.
The tradition says that when Jesus got done declaring that he was the anointed one, he sat in that chair. And that's why the people got so angry. Are you declaring yourself greater than Elijah? Was he confronting? These are people that he grew up with. His relatives were in that town, and all of his school buddies, if you wish. And he took a chance and he sat in that chair. Did you ever rile up religious people? Did you ever see such anger and such resentment from a religious person? All right. I gave you a book a few weeks back. Yeah, that wonderful book, right? How many have gotten a few corners of irritation through that book? Yeah. It shows you where you and I came from. Okay? It's so comfortable to be religious. See, the fear of being cast out, of being left out, of being pushed out, of being excommunicated. I had all of them. But I confronted those fears. James 4:7. Humble yourself before the Lord. Resist. And stand your ground. When God began this work in me, to be very honest with you, like I told you earlier, for 37 years, I was very, very religious. Don't bug me, I could give you answers. Okay? I had been trained. I knew what I was doing. When the Holy Ghost came in, he started to unwind me. How many know about unwinding? Unwinding the stuff that came from religion.
Amen.
Attitudes of the flesh. Attitude of the Galatians. I had all of them. I didn't know how much I had. and I still don't know what's left. Sometimes I see little corners. How many know the Lord can give you a little slap in the rump once in a while? Okay, and readjust your walk. You know, when you're walking with too much attitude, he'll lift you up a little bit. What I am trying to tell you is this. It's a daily, progressive understanding that you definitely have a destiny with God. You will be living in the realm of the Spirit. You will definitely, let's say like most people, unless the Lord returns quickly, going to be in that heavenly realm someday. And for me, there's a lot more years behind me, so obviously, living on the other side is getting a little closer. Okay? Every time I look in the mirror, I say, oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen? And you see different things happening to this flesh. And it's not all comfy. Some of it is a little disagreeable. Amen?
Amen.
But you see, I refuse to bow to fear because I know what street I'm going to live on. It's going to be on Faith Street. Not going to be on Miserable Street. I see that little finger there.
You know, I have a question.
Go for it.
All right, now you said, if I got you right, that when we go on the other side,
mm-hmm.
what we haven't learned here, or our attitude or whatever that was here, is going to be there.
Well, yeah, because your soul is still going to be with you.
Okay, then there. Okay, then all the people
mm-hmm.
that have gone,
mm-hmm.
that have died with, had nothing to do with rejection, abandonment, have all those issues.
Mm-hmm.
If they have not confessed the Lord as their Savior, they're not on the other side, correct?
First of all, a confession versus what tradition and churchianity says is two different things. Okay? And a lot of people think that even the people in the religious realm will never make it. That's a lie. If they understand that Jesus died for their sin, that's sufficient.
Right, but what I'm saying is if they don't know
God will still have a place for them, and he will still reveal himself to them.
On the other side.
Absolutely. Because for many years, I thought differently, because I had been taught differently. And I would say this is approximately 20 years ago. There was a young man that had been on television, and his wife came from Canada. He came from Australia. And he was ministering in Connecticut. And I asked my son, my youngest son, if he wanted to take a ride, and we would go on a Sunday night. And we did. This young man had been brought up in the Anglican Church. And some people would say, well, the Anglican Church, right? Too swift. Well, it's better than some. Okay?
Better than none.
And when he was confirmed, because in the Anglican Church, once you're confirmed, then you're an adult, and you go on. And he shared with us that he told the pastor or the priest, I think it was a priest, that as far as he was concerned, he says, now that I've been confirmed, I'm on my own, right? My parents are no longer accountable for me, and that's it. So he went off and he did his own thing. He never went back to church. He ended up enjoying sex, drugs, and all the stuff that goes with it and lived like a beach bum in a different island. Well, one day he got stung by a boxfish. It is stronger than any venom from any snake. And he instantly got paralyzed in half of his body. He had two places where he got stung. And he made it to the edge of the shore. When he got to the edge of the shore, a man was there and he tried to flag him down and get some help because only half his body was functioning. And he cried out for help, and the man walked away because he didn't have any money. All he had was a pair of cut-off shorts. He dragged himself on the sand next to the hotel that was visible, and he saw a taxi driver, and the taxi driver says, if you had money, I'd give you a ride to the hospital, but you ain't got nothing, not even a watch, so get along. You're just a bum anyway. And he stayed in the sand for quite a while. Until he dragged himself over to another area where some people were outside, like on a veranda, and a waiter refused to help him because he had no money. And a taxi driver had second thoughts or some type of an idea, picked him up and brought him to the ER, and he died. Well, while he was in the heavens, he saw the Lord's Prayer in bold print. Will you forgive those that offended you? Was part that he was written. And he saw immediately a picture of the man that was on the edge that refused to help him. And he said, would you forgive him? And the young man said, yes, I will. Showed him the taxi driver. Will you forgive him? He said, yes, I will. Showed him the waiter. Will you forgive the waiter? Yes, I will. Made decisions in the realm of the spirit without being in his body. That's the secret there. Okay? So whether you think you're all done learning here, he's got Abel's abilities on the other side. So now, there's a door and he's ready to go into heaven. And the Lord says, I would prefer that you don't go in, because once you cross that door, you can't return. Well, he says, I've got nothing to return to. He says, nobody loves me anyway. They all use me. And so the Lord said, but you are wrong. And he saw like an eagle's vision where he focused. And he saw his mother, and she was kneeling next to her bed, and she was praying for him. And he began to cry. And the Lord said, if you're willing, you can go back. And he said, I'm willing. But he said, will you testify of my grace and my love and my compassion to all the broken ones that don't understand? And he said, I will. He was back in his body, and his body was already in the morgue. They were about to tie a tag on his foot, and the nurse passed out when he opened his eyes. And he was gone for something like 30-something minutes, but in the realm of the spirit, it was instant. He said, God, now what? Every symptom had left. All the paralyzed body was restored. He headed back to his hometown, went to see his mom, and he thanked his mom for loving him and praying for him. And then he gave himself to the Lord and became an evangelist, married a young woman from Canada, and went around the world telling his testimony. You will be learning on the other side. You're not going to be a vegetable sitting on miserable street.
That's not my question, though. I get that.
You get that.
My question is, the people that don't know Jesus, the people that don't...
There will be a space for them as well. Because when he went and he preached to those that were in Abraham's bosom, they had a belief in God. They did not know Jesus. They knew about a God that loved them. That's all, basically, that they knew. And they knew the legalism of their own Ten Commandments, if you wish. So God will make provision for those who has no knowledge of him. And he will make themselves, there will be a space, I believe, for them to know. Because anybody that has a belief of the realm of the natural, the birds, the sky, everything in the nature, if they have chosen to serve demonic people or demonic principalities and so on, then they will have made a clear choice. But God definitely will not leave a person who's had no experience at all. Like you say, brought up on nothing. All of nature reveals the glory of God. All of nature. And everyone who is brought up in nature. Even a brand new baby that has no knowledge at all, he doesn't throw them away.
Oh, I know he doesn't.
Okay. So all of these that have no information, your job and my job is to obey the Lord. And if we're supposed to reveal, then we give them what we know. Continue to do that. I want to close it down because it's getting late. We'll...
Was an answer to her question.
Yes.
When he talks about the rich man that was in Abraham's bosom.
Yes.
And he asked the Lord, let me go up so I can tell my brothers.
Mm-hmm.
He was told no. They have the apostles, they have the prophets, to say, a lot of people are in that misconception that nobody or somebody doesn't know. But everybody, God gives the opportunity to know. Once that, when your decision comes of where you go, it's been because of your choice to either reject or accept.
That's right.
Not because of you didn't know.
Because when did you make a decision?
Well, no, I was 42 when I actually...
When you said yes to Jesus.
Yes.
Right.
And I was a Catholic up until that point.
Right. But even as a Catholic, you knew there was a creator.
Oh, yes.
All right. See, you knew Jesus had been crucified for your sin. So you were a believer then. See, because that's a qualification. So remember, a lot of people say, oh, religious people. Some of them, that's all they've got is that little piece. And I'm trying to tell you, they may be on the other side, not quite as happy as you'd like them to be, but there will be a space for them to learn. And that's what I believe the Communion of Saints is all about. And you're not going to stop learning. You're ever going to be receiving from Him. Now close your eyes. Say, Father, the whole purpose of this message
is for me,
not to fear man, because it will prove a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord
is being kept safe.
And that's me.
And my household.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.